Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. It is great to be here. Happy birthday again, Kerry, and happy rebirthday, River Church Maidenhead, reborn into this new place. It's great. It's such a privilege. I didn't think I was going to get emotional this morning, but I'm afraid I am. So there we go. It is so great to be here on this day, which I believe is a significant day for you, meeting for the first time in this venue. But as Kerry has already said, where did those 32 years go? Because 1985, we met here as River Christian Fellowship. It was the first venue that what had been called Marlow Fellowship met on a Sunday morning. We'd been meeting on other days of the week until that point and not really advertising our presence very much. And it was part of a whole restructure of the church and a rebirth of the church, really. And we started meeting on a Sunday morning, and this is where we met. And Mrs. Smith.
Yes, this is the first time. The first time I actually came to River Church was here in this school all those years ago.
So I'm not going to spend the next half an hour being nostalgic at all. But as I read our passage through this week, I really felt it speak to me from our history. So I'll be coming back to that in just a moment. But it's great. Can I just say, well done, leaders of River Church Maidenhead, for negotiating this transition and change. You've done a fantastic job, and all the teams. I know we've already thanked them, but for it to have gone as smoothly as it has this morning, and for most of you, you won't be aware of any cracks, I'm sure, you know, any stitching together, has been amazing. Well done for being brave enough to launch into something new. And it is also, I have to say, great to see you carrying on with this type of plan for Bible reading and speaking. This is now the third, I think. Is that right? Yes. I'll kind of refer to this a little bit maybe as I go through some of the kind of look back as well as we're looking forward. I'm the ghost of Christmas past as well as the ghost of Christmas future this morning. But as a church, we have always felt it was really important to always be stepping into the new things, into the new season, staying on the cutting edge of whatever the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do. And that's fantastic. But can I say, as someone who's been around for most, though not quite all, of that history, at times, in my personal opinion, that sometimes means I think we've maybe not had a tendency to not stick at things that we should have stuck at for a little bit longer. That's my personal opinion. I was in leadership for a while, so I could just take my responsibility in that anyway. And it's great to see you sticking at something and seeing something through. Not getting stuck in something, but getting stuck into it, if you see what I mean, which is great. So this week you have, if you're following the plan, been reading Romans 11 to 15. And if you've in fact been reading from the beginning of Romans, which I'm sure many of you have, and if you haven't, go onto the website, download the booklet or get the weekly update emails or pick up the booklets on the welcome table. You'll be aware that this includes the tail end of a passage where from kind of chapters 9 to 11, there's quite a weighty discussion in a way going on as the Apostle Paul kind of wrestles with what is the place of Israel, what's the place of the Jews, Israel the people, by the way, not the land. But anyway, what's the place of all of that in God's purposes? And most of you will be relieved, and one or two of you might be disappointed. No, I'm not going to go into any of that this morning. Not in a kind of a verse-by-verse exegetical commentary way. I'm going to leave that, you know, Kerry's promised me she's going to do a special evening for that she's going to lead. And tonight, yeah, no, she couldn't think of anything better to do on her birthday. No, I mean, if you want that, I'll leave that for others. What spoke to me from this passage 11 to 15 was actually something intensely practical, which did refer to our, let's just say, I'm not going to point fingers, I'll say my past. And it might speak to some of you, in fact, I believe it will. Some very practical stuff for individuals, us as individuals, some very practical stuff for you as a church community. And my first point really is very much to do with being back here. So let's get into it. Here's my title, Honour the Past, Press into the Future. Honour the past, press into the future. So, honour the past. You see, Paul, I believe in this passage, certainly picking it up in chapter 11, he is talking about honouring roots. That he actually specifically talks about that phrase. Honouring roots, honouring what's gone before. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. And here's my little summary of how Paul kind of seems to sum it up in Romans chapter 11. And forgive the paraphrase and the kind of generalization, but I think it goes something like this. Paul, writing primarily to Gentiles in this church here in Rome, is saying, well, you think that the people who went before you, the Jews, blew it, missed their chance. And yeah, there's some truth in that. And Gentiles, you think that you are now God's purpose on the earth. You are the new kids on the block. You are where it's at. You are on the cutting edge of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And yes, there is some truth in that. But you also think, some of you, that because those things are true, what's gone before has no value, is passé, has been rejected by God. And says Paul, you are wrong there. Because if they turn to me as you have, if they open themselves to me afresh as you have, then of course I have not forgotten about them. I love them. Is that a fair summary of what he says? And this is what spoke to me, and it challenged me a lot. You see, the thing is, 30 to 40 years ago, and some of you will remember this, some of you have been born into the kingdom of God since that time, some of you have been born since that time. 30 to 40 years ago, the church landscape in the UK looked very, very different. And a new thing arose as people woke up, were blessed by God, were blessed in new ways, a reawakening of understanding about the power of God's Holy Spirit and all that he wanted to do with his church, a reawakening of how he wanted us to be committed to one another and how relationships was not just vertical, you know, between us and God, but there was the body of Christ and the body was important. And a reawakening of spiritual gifts and understanding, gifting in each other and the priesthood of all believers and all that stuff was fantastic. And because of that, because that didn't seem like it could be contained within traditional structures, new sorts of churches arose. And that was great. The problem is, for people like me, passionate, in my brothers at the time, older than I care to think really, but was I, and maybe some others, maybe us as a church, kind of did have this attitude that Paul is speaking into of, well, all of that traditional stuff, that's kind of in the past. We are God's purpose on the earth. We actually sang songs about that. I see some nods around the room. Now, were we entirely wrong? I don't think so. But was our attitude right? I don't think so. Was my attitude right? I know it wasn't. Kerry, I was so excited to hear the story about St. Edmund Campion, and I was so excited to hear you pick up on that and pray for the other Christian communities in this town. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. And whether we're talking about us as a church in relation to other churches, or whether we're talking about us as a church in relation to what has gone before in River Church, or whether we're talking about us as individuals looking at our own personal history, let's never have the attitude that we are the only people who've got it right now. And everything else that's gone before is a bit of a waste of time and should be forgotten about. Let's maintain an attitude of honour. Does that mean we agree with everything from the past and from Christian? No, of course it doesn't. Just like there's a generation arising now who don't agree with everything I stood for. You know, there is a bit of a generational thing involved in all of this. Did I print it off? Okay. I didn't. Mark Twain said something like this, forgive the paraphrase. When I was 14, I thought my father didn't understand anything about anything. When I reached 21, I marveled at how much he'd learnt in the last 7 years. Let's kind of beware of that attitude. And there's a practical outworking of this, by the way. Paul doesn't just leave it behind at the end of chapter 11. In the last chapter we read this week, at the end of chapter 15, he kind of drops a bit of a heavy hint, really, to the Roman church when he talks about the fact that he's going to be carrying a financial gift from another Gentile church back to the church in Jerusalem because they need that support. And what's he saying there? He's saying, Gentiles, this, your heritage, you know, you might not agree with it all, but let's bless them. And let's bless them practically. And you know, I have no authority to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just as a suggestion, maybe sometimes our love and expression and honouring needs to be more than just praying and actually can be practical. And actually the giving of finance and resource is one way of expressing that. And how that works, who knows. But I have heard of other churches who actually have gone and sent people to other churches in the area with a gift for the offering that morning, regularly over a period of time. I need to move on. Let's honour the past. Let's press into the future. Let's learn from the past. Let's learn from our mistakes and let's let God transform us. River Church, Maidenhead, let God transform you. I am so excited about your future, our future. I believe today is the beginning of a new start which flows from the old. I've got 3 points just to go through. I listened this morning, maybe I should have listened to it before, although maybe not, but I listened this morning to Kerry speaking at the start of the year on January the 7th and realized that what I have to say now is almost like a kind of a commentary or a companion piece to what she spoke about that morning on faith, hope and love. If you've not heard that message, go and listen to it. If you're listening to me now on podcast, press pause, press stop. Go and find January the 7th. Listen to Kerry speaking on January the 7th and then come back and pick it up at this point, 18 minutes in, if you're looking for it. So here are my 3 points, all taken from the passage this week. They all are around the word living, because it's good for the future to have life, isn't it? And the first one is, almost feels like a, sounds at first like a contradiction in terms, living sacrifices. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. This is truly the way to worship him. It's great to sing the songs we sing. Every single person who ever leads from the front here knows that that is only an aspect of worship. And spiritual worship, as it's translated in some translations, is the giving of our whole selves to God. The future requires us to look again at our dedication to Jesus. My subtitle there is Look on the Face of Christ. It's because, as Paul says here, it's because of all he's done for us. Let's look again at all he's done for us. Let's look at his sacrifice. And then let's look at, therefore, what we are called to. Now, here's a few aspects of that. Well, first of all, the aspect of personal dedication. And at the end, speaking as we go into worship, I'm going to invite us to kind of reflect on that. Is something we need to say to God afresh, of the giving of ourselves. If you are in a small group, the notes I provided for those groups this week encourages us to just reflect on that again. To give all of us, not just our Sunday morning, midweek, evening part of us, not just our raised voices, raised hands, all of us. Which, by the way, and I have referred to already, but kind of is referred to a little bit here in various places throughout this passage, it involves that part of our bodies which is sometimes the part which, I don't know, we struggle to allow the Holy Spirit to reach. Well, it's not really our body, really. It's a sort of appendage to our body. It's to do with the clothes we wear. It's our pocket. Our generosity. Secondly, what does it mean? Well, it means to play your part wholeheartedly. This passage in Romans chapter 12 has this very famous section about the fact that we are joined to each other. We all belong to each other, it says here in my translation in Romans 12 verse 5. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Whatever your gift is, brothers and sisters, let's do it all the more. And that will take sacrifice sometimes, because we won't always feel like it. But it's so important if we're to grow, if we're to press into our future, that everyone really does play their part. You know, with everything we might have got wrong 30 to 40 years ago, one thing I think we got right was a rediscovery of how important the body of Christ is and how important each other are to each other, and how it's only as we discover the priest of all believers, every member in ministry, that we will grow. And work hard, serve enthusiastically. Oh, I'm sorry. I know work hard doesn't sound very much like, you know, our sort of let go and let God. You know, well, I'm sorry. I don't believe in let go and let God anyway. So I don't really know why I'm saying sorry. Work hard. Because at times we need to. Serve enthusiastically. I left off the beginning of the sentence because I didn't think it looked so good up there. But actually verse 11 reads in my Bible, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. And one specific example of that at the end of verse 13, always be eager to practice hospitality. I just felt I ought to stress that one for some reason. Living sacrifices. Moving on. Living in the light. Live like heaven is near. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. You know, the behavior and customs of this world are all around us. It's so pervasive. It's so easy to be squeezed into that mold, as another translation talks about in this passage. But let's resist that. Let's live in the light. What does that mean? Well, it means don't live by the world's values. And there's some examples of that given in chapter 13. For example, give respect and honor to those who are in authority. It's not very fashionable. Does that mean blindly accepting all authority? Well, actually, you know, I know Paul talks about submitting to the authorities, but then you actually look at what he did and where things were corrupt. He did stand against that. But in our heart and in our attitude, let's not be those who join in with always, always, always undermining authority and looking for ways to snipe and gossip and bring down and speak badly of. Can we just agree not to do that? To pray for them instead? I wouldn't want the job of anyone in national leadership at the moment. Hold tightly to what is good. Cleave to it, another translation says. And one way of working that out, chapter 13, verse 14. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. It's in our brains, it's in our minds, it's in our heads that things can go wrong. If we spend our time thinking about the things which are not of the kingdom of God, will it be any surprise if our actions follow? I'm not pointing fingers, I've got my hand up. And it's got this phrase in chapter 13, verse 13, live decent lives. And this week, this Sunday, at the end of this week of everything that's been in the news, could I talk about this without mentioning this? President's Club. Now. For those not watching the news, go home and Google it. I haven't got time to look into it, explain it all now. But basically, an event where some highly inappropriate things took place. That actually, if you read through chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, sounds a little bit like a description of what went on at the President's Club event. Now, this is the world's values, although there's a backlash against it now. Am I pointing the finger? Do you know what? I actually took a look at the guest list, which is online. Pretty sure there was at least one Christian there. Probably more. Did they go thinking they were going to go to some debauched event? Probably not. President's Club, by the way, oh, we can't read that, but basically they've raised 20 million for charities, children's charities in particular. And I had a look at the list that they've given money to. It includes Christian charities. So people would have gone there innocently, maybe. It's got a phrase in this passage in chapter 13. It says, wake up, which for me just basically means let's keep our eyes open. And let's make sure that we aren't colluding with values, with behavior, that actually we know is not that of the kingdom of God. We do belong to another kingdom. In another letter, Paul talks about us as being citizens of heaven. Whatever passport you have, UK, USA, any other country, as a Christian, that isn't your primary citizenship. Our primary citizenship is that of the kingdom of God. So let's make sure we live in the kingdom of light. And finally, living lives of love. On the 7th of January, Kerry said, this is the most important thing we can do. Love wins. To love everyone we meet. And I agree with her. And what's more, it does seem that Paul does. Love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. These commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. I preceded that a little bit, but you can read it for yourself. Now, Paul has a particular context as you read through the passage. And again, it goes back to this Jew-Gentile thing. And he's talking about something which was very current in terms of their debate at the time about the Sabbath and the nature of the Sabbath and other holy days and was one day holier than another. And also stuff to do with food. Were the food laws still to be adhered to? And what about food that's been sacrificed to pagan idols and then is sold in the shops after, on the market afterwards, which is what happened? And could Christians eat that food if it's been sacrificed to idols? And some people thought, oh no, we can't possibly do that. And other people said, well, it's just food, and if we don't believe in the idol, that doesn't matter. And the thing is, you see, these aren't issues to us, so it's very easy to kind of, for us to read it and say, oh well, Paul's just talking about disagreements about peripheral issues, and the stuff that we disagree with, well, that's to do with fundamental truth of the gospel. Understand, for these guys, this was fundamental truth of the gospel. And Paul says, don't condemn one another. Let me just read out what Paul says throughout these chapters. Just a few examples. Just let this sink in. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Love fulfills the requirements of God's law, what we just read. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Your brothers and sisters are servants of God. Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Let's aim for harmony in the church. Try to build each other up. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Accept each other, just as Christ Jesus has accepted you. And anyone who participates in Facebook and Twitter, Facebook mostly for me, will know that the Christian church is not obeying this, because people are sniped at, brought down, criticized, condemned, because it's to do with the fundamental truth of what we believe, just like the stuff that Paul's speaking to. Don't participate in it. Don't get drawn into it. And locally, let's speak well of each other within this church community and in other church communities. We may not agree on every point, but if people love Jesus and we know they love Jesus, that is the main thing in our unity. And everything else is, to some extent, peripheral. I could name names about people who are, I'm going to, I'm sorry. Some of you are going to come up and talk to me about this afterwards. But Steve Chalk. In the past, I have known Steve, and I've read him recently speaking. Steve loves Jesus, okay? You may or may not believe in everything else that he stands for right now and things that he has spoken about publicly. But let's honor someone who loves Jesus. Please. So to sum up, let's honor what's gone before us in our walk of faith, whether that's what's gone before for us as a church. 2,000 years of church history. 40 odd years of River Church history. Some of them have been pretty odd. Let's honour our own personal history and heritage, even where people have not behaved perfectly towards us. And then let's press into our future. Look on the face of Christ. Can the band come back, please? That would be great. Look on the face of Christ. And let's give ourselves afresh to him. Let's live like heaven is near, living in the light as citizens of the kingdom of God. And let's love everyone we meet. Those outside and those that we're connected to, as Paul says, as part of the same body. Let's not judge. Let's love. Let's not condemn. Let's love. Let's not gossip. Let's love. Let's not just say the words. Let's love. Build each other up.